Hello, thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Let's turn to the Irish for another celebration, that of the Pontifical Irish College here in Rome. But before focusing on this event with the current rector of the college, let's take a look briefly at the figure of St. Patrick, why he has such an appeal, and why, if it's true that we conjure up images of shamrocks and beer-drinking havoc when we think of the day we dedicate to him each year, it's also just as true that devotion of this apostle to Ireland is also linked to one of the most gruelling penitential rites in the Catholic Church, as my colleague Emma McCarthy discovered from Monsignor Liam Bergin.
Patrick brought the good news to the Irish people in the 4th century, and it's something we've cherished ever since. Patrick was a missionary to Ireland, and I think he has inspired the Irish to be missionaries throughout the centuries since. Like all religious feasts nowadays, it's very difficult to keep the religious separate from the secular or from even other material aspects. But because Patrick captures the imagination of the Irish and many more, I think it probably has been that little bit easier. Say, if you think of in Italy, we've just celebrated Carnevale, and much of the religious significance of this event has been totally lost. But Patrick, bishop, and the figure, you know, with the shamrock, still stands tall despite everything else.
A very interesting point, the idea of separating the spiritual from the secular, this celebration of the feast day.
Well, I think the best example we can take is Patrick himself. Patrick came a Christian to pagan Ireland. And what did he do? He looked at the beliefs the Irish had already and tried to bring them along to understand the Christian message. The pre-Christian Irish had a great sense of creation and of the elements. And the two great symbols Patrick used were fire and creation, the shamrock, the pagan festival of fire. Patrick transformed that with the Easter vigil, taking that ancient ritual of the pagans and baptizing it, if you want, turning it into the Easter vigil. And the same way, the great love that the ancient Irish have for creation, Patrick took, you know, one of the smallest plants we have on our land, the shamrock, and used that to explain the Trinity. So I think that's the example we take. Find people where they are, and try and, if you like, baptize or reconvert different practices that may be out there today, even still.
Beyond Ireland, he's a saint that is celebrated also in America, in Australia, in places as far off as the Philippines. What is his appeal?
Well, would you believe in Nigeria, it's also a solemnity, the Feast of St. Patrick, because they were evangelized by the Irish. But even here in Italy, there are extraordinary connections. Patrick, down through the centuries, has had a great fascination for people, and particularly his great penitential exercise in Lough Derg. Many of your listeners may know that, you know, the most severe penitential exercise in the church is Lough Derg. That's a three-day exercise on an island on the northwest of Ireland where people go without food, go barefoot, and even without a night's sleep in penance, following the example of Patrick. And here in Italy, there are different shrines which commemorate Patrick's purgatory and Patrick's intercession. It's believed that hundreds of Italians, thousands indeed, would have gone from Italy to Ireland to do this exercise during medieval times. And there are two great testimonies to that. In Orvieto, there is the Pozzo di San Patrizio, the Well of St. Patrick, which again is linked to the whole story of the purgatory. It is believed that St. Patrick brought the pagan Irish to the edge of a well, and he touched the well with his crozier. And when they looked down, they could see right down to the centre of the earth and could see the souls in purgatory. And that's how he explained it to them.
We begin celebrations to mark the foundation of the Pontifical Irish College here in Rome. Would you just like to explain to our listeners how the Pontifical Irish College came about being founded?
Well, immediately after the Reformation, the situation for Catholics in Ireland, England, Wales, indeed many of the countries in Northern Europe became very difficult. It was illegal to have a seminary. It was illegal for Catholics to receive any education. So what they did was they moved their activity off land, offshore, and opened colleges throughout Europe. Once upon a time, or in the 17th, 18th century, there were about 30 Irish colleges scattered over Europe, from Portugal to Poland, from Italy up to the Spanish Netherlands. There were colleges in many, many cities, because, again, it was illegal to have colleges in Ireland. The Irish College in Rome is the only one that still exists, because obviously we can have seminaries and education in Ireland now. But the Irish College in Rome is the only Irish seminary that still exists in Europe. And we were founded in 1628 by an Irish Franciscan called Luke Wadding and an Italian cardinal, Ludovico Ludovisi. And an extraordinary thing happened is that both of them died on the same day, but 25 years apart. And this year is the anniversary, the 350th anniversary of the death of Wadding and the 375th anniversary of the death of Ludovisi. So yes, we hope to celebrate our founders and hopefully to reconsolidate their legacy as this year progresses.
Now, this is going to take place in various ceremonies throughout Europe. I believe the first opening of the celebrations will take place in Louvain. From then it will be in Bobbio, and lastly here in the Irish College. How are you going to celebrate or mark the anniversaries?
Well, Wadding was a great European. He was from a wealthy merchant family in Waterford in Ireland. And as a young man, he went to do his commercial activity in Portugal because it was not possible as a Catholic in Ireland. In Portugal, he became a Franciscan, and then he travelled greatly throughout Europe. The Irish College in Louvain, we had a college in Louvain until the First World War. It is now an Irish Cultural Institute, but that was founded 400 years ago this year by Wadding. And Wadding would have come down through Europe and would have had a great influence in many places.
There's an extremely strong Irish presence here in Rome, and it really is felt. How many churches do we have right now that are in Rome, in the city itself, that are guided, spiritually guided by the Irish community, the Irish priests here?
Well, we have the Irish College, which is right beside St. John Lateran on the Via dei Santi Quattro. Then the St. Patrick's Church, Augustinian Church, on Via Boncompagni. And then everybody who comes to Rome knows San Clemente, which is under the care of the Irish Dominicans. And this is a particular anniversary for them too, because this year celebrates the 150th anniversary of the discovery of that extraordinary rich excavation site beneath the church, found by an Irish Dominican priest 150 years ago this year. Then we have San Silvestro, traditionally the English church in Rome, but it is staffed by the Irish Palatine Fathers. We are still strong here in the city.
That was the rector of the Pontifical Irish College here in Rome, Monsignor Liam Bergen, speaking to my colleague Emma McCarthy. Our thanks go to both of them. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.